Welcome to your favorite F-word podcast, where we dive deep into conversations around food, fitness, feelings, with the occasional fuck thrown in. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Nicola,
owners of Paradigm Nutrition and Performance, nutrition coaches, besties, and most importantly, humans.
This show is for coaches, self-growth-oriented folks, active humans, or anyone looking to deepen their understanding and relationship with food, movement, and themselves.
Thanks for tuning in, and we cannot wait to share this space with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Your Favorite F Word. We're here with another Just the Tips, Epi. I was driving in my car this morning and I was like, just the tips, like singing along.
Oh, that's just like the girly thing to do is turn absolutely everything into a little song.
Except for I have a terrible singing voice.
No one said it had to be good.
Yeah.
Like how often do you make up songs and sing them to Molly?
Oh my God, every day.
Every day. Yeah.
I was singing Molly last night. I was singing to Molly, or Sunday night after the Super Bowl. I came home early and I was singing to her the Barney song, like, I love you, you love me. I'm like forcing her to cuddle with me. She's like, fuck you.
Oh God. I'm obsessed with taking that Nanoland song that's like, who's that wonderful girl?
Yeah.
When I say, who's that wonderful girl? And loves it.
That's cute. That's nice that she enjoys it. Molly hates that shit.
I mean, she really just looks at me like, okay, you should be so embarrassed of yourself right now.
Anyways, yes, we are just the tipping today, and we're going to talk a little bit about meal planning and how to like convert your macros into meals and how to figure out how many macros to eat per meal, that kind of stuff.
I got distracted because Goose is now singing to herself outside the door.
Can you hear it?
She keeps going.
I can't hear it.
That's her. Bitch, take me outside.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into it. What are the tips?
Well, I mean, there's a lot. First, maybe we talk about why this matters. Why do we give a shit about having specific meals, what do the macros need to look like and why?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially if they're new to macro tracking, they kind of get their set of macros and then they're like, okay, cool. What am I supposed to do with this? Especially in our coaching, we don't provide like a meal plan usually, right? So it's kind of the onus is on the client to figure out, okay, I've got X grams of protein, fat, and carbs, and now I need to figure out how I'm going to split it up throughout the day. And we want to be mindful of how we're splitting it up, our meal timing, et cetera, from a variety of factors. I think the biggest one just being making sure that it's split up in a way that manages our hunger, keeps us satisfied, and like sustains our energy throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
If we're looking at this in the context of like someone who's new to this process, then I think this kind of like framework definitely like elicits supports the rationale for why sometimes we get clients to just track first and then can compare to the macros. So it's like, okay, if we're never eating protein and our protein is way lower, that's a good indicator that like we need to start adding more protein sources to each meal. And can kind of like work from it that way. But for sure, it can be like very daunting to be given specific targets and then have to like make heads and tails of it yourself. So then with some clients, we do help by, depending on like what they need, obviously, we break it down into like, okay, so if you have say 150 grams of protein to hit per day, like how many meals do you have generally in a day? How can we make sure that all of those main meals are going to get a good chunk? And you really start to just like do the math. And this is before you're maybe even putting anything into MyFitnessPal. You're just getting a ballpark of like, okay, well, how many grams of protein do I need to get at each meal to like ultimately lead up to my target?
Mm-hmm. And doing that for each of the macros, right? So those are kind of like always the starting questions that we want to ask ourselves is like, how many meals do we want to eat throughout the day? How many snacks do we want to have if we're calling them that? I personally don't love the idea of like a meal versus snack. I try to get my clients away from that thinking, because then I think when we think snacks, we limit our food choices in that option, right? Like we're just thinking, what are snacky foods, where like a smaller meal could be a snack. Like you could have a smaller portion. I think we've talked about this, but like a smaller portion of like chicken and rice, for example, or something like that.
Almost even going, when you're setting up my Fitness Pal, just calling it meal one, meal two, meal three, meal four, meal five, instead of breakfast, which has connotations around what it should be.
Yeah.
Lunch, dinner, snacks, dessert. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So yeah, thinking about like how many times do you want to eat in a day? Right. And then if you want to get more specific, thinking about, you know, when is your workout and what does your meal timing need to look like in that regards, those are kind of where we start. And then once we have that template, then we can start putting in the specific macros for each. We have very chaotic notes here.
It's very interesting, making heads or tails. I'm like, maybe we should have just chatted. But I think, yeah. So if there's like maybe a hierarchy of like in the planning process, because as you have capitalized here, planning here is obviously like the biggest thing. You're not going to come out of a day, let alone like weeks, after not thinking about this. That's kind of like the difference between a podcast we've done before, which is like passive versus active tracking. Like active tracking is intentionally thinking about, how are we making sure our energy is going to be stable throughout the day? How are we mitigating hunger throughout the day? Are we making sure that we're optimizing protein for muscle protein synthesis? Are we making sure we're doing a good job of fueling and recovering from workouts? Like those pieces are likely not going to be super dialed in if we're just going about the day logging as we go.
And logging as we go might be a good strategy as we're first learning, but if we're looking to optimize these things, definitely putting things into my Fitness Pal well ahead of time. We usually recommend planning out the entire day, right? Which you might not be there at this moment. Maybe it looks like planning one meal at a time. But there's nothing worse than like eating something, then tracking it after, which A, is probably not super accurate. And then B, tracking it after and realizing like, wow, I just ate half of my fats for the day, or like that meal had 10 grams of protein and now I still have 140 grams left and shit like that. Right. So planning is going to help ensure that doesn't happen.
So then like, if we're assuming you're going to plan, I would suggest starting with protein first. So say you're tracking or planning it like one single day, I would log all the protein you're planning to have in that day across all the different meals. So meal one, this much protein. And like, literally, if you want to log, like meal one is eggs and egg whites. Meal two, my protein source is chicken. Meal three, my protein source is ground turkey. Meal four, it's protein powder. Log all of your protein to make sure you're hitting protein. That way you're like, automatically, you know, you're going to nail it.
Yeah.
And because protein sources generally will have some carbs and fats, then you know what you have remaining for those macros, because it's super easy if we're tracking our fats first to, you know, put in all our fat sources, hit fats. And then when we go and double back to get protein, we have to then play the game of, do I want to be under protein or over fats?
Yeah. Yeah. So breaking down that protein, then going to plan your carbs, then going to plan your fats, and doing that like one macro at a time is a strategy. And like Nicholas said, there's going to be carryover between those ones, right? So even if you plan out your protein and you're like maybe 10, 15 grams short, it's likely that once you put in your carb and fat sources, you're going to probably hit that protein by the end of it. So just making sure you're like close in that ballpark when you are. And then once you've got all three of those macros planned in, then you can look and see if you're over, if you're under, go in and make adjustments. And again, when you're doing this ahead of time, it allows you to make those adjustments and still ensure that like each meal is going to be fulfilling. It's going to be satisfying from a hunger perspective and also mentally. and that you're
balanced so that you don't like all of a sudden have like no fats to go towards your dinner.
Yeah, the worst.
Just tricky.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you can go from a method of like inputting everything into MyFitnessPal or whatever you're using to track. You could also do it in the sense that you're literally just dividing the numbers of your targets. So 150 grams of protein across 5 meals, you're aiming for 30 grams per meal and making templates that way so that you more or less know what you're striving for with each meal. And once you get into thinking about like your pre and post workout, once you're like more familiar with how you like to eat and when you tend to be hungrier, then you can start shifting things around. So you might not have equal carbs at every single meal. You might have fewer carbs in the meals farthest away from your workout, and you might have more carbs in the workouts right before and right after.
Yeah.
So it can become like a little finessing process week to week, but having a general idea of what to aim for can be so helpful.
Mm-hmm. And we typically recommend having some carbs, fats, and protein at every single meal and snack. Right? At what? You laughing about snack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snack.
Yeah. Every time we eat, we should be trying to get probably some source of each of those. Again, maybe a little bit different around our workouts, lower fat, higher carbs, but definitely protein split out evenly. Another way that you could go about planning is to just plan out, not just plan out, but instead of like dividing it and doing like all the protein at once and then all of the carbs at once, do one meal at a time. So plan out mm-hmm. your breakfast, then plan out your lunch, then plan out your dinner, then plan out your whatever smaller meals. And then you can look at, okay, do we need to adjust from there? I find for me, that's a little bit easier because it's easier for me to like conceptualize a full meal rather mm-hmm. than conceptualize just like
individual
one macro mm-hmm. at a time.
Totally.
Especially if you're someone who like doesn't love eating like super simple meals. Like a lot of Nicola and I's meals are, you know, protein, fat, carb in a bowl with some vegetables and some sort of sauce, right? So it's easy for us to, you know, think about, okay, I need this much protein at each meal, this much rice or potatoes or whatever. But if you're someone who's like making more involved recipes or something like that, planning out your meals one at a time might be a little bit better strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good call too. Yeah. And then it kind of leads into like another question we get asked, which is like, okay, so I have my macros and I have a breakdown of like macros per meal, but like what are recipes then that fit this?
Right. Yeah, we have a hard time with that question. It was interesting. I saw a Instagram post the other day with a girl who's a chef, and she was like, people always say like, I don't understand how people don't know how to cook. Like it's not hard. Especially like when we're talking about the meals that we typically make, it's not like crazy cooking. Like you're not having to like do any of these intense, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like following a recipe, chopping a million ingredients, cooking things in different ways.
Yeah. Like the cooking style, like the cooking method, you know, it's like literally throw it in a pan and fucking use a thing to like move it around. It's not like,
make sure you're not like salmonella, call it a day.
Do these like things, right? But she explained it of like, if you've never like been around that or learned that, like it can be challenging. Mm-hmm. So I'm like trying to keep a more open mind when clients are like, I hate cooking or I can't cook or whatever. But with the recipe thing, this one, I feel like I'm not a great person to like give advice on this because I don't follow recipes. I take an inspo from a meal and I just like, because I've been tracking so long, I know like, okay, that meal used X ingredient. That's not going to fit within my macros. So I'm going to sub it out for this or like mm-hmm. use less of it. And I'm going to use more of this or whatever. So if we haven't built that awareness yet, I think it's a little bit harder, but there's tons of different recipes and like resources online that have the macros listed. Mm-hmm. Right. You can Google macro friendly recipes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that like almost gives like more or puts more emphasis on why it's so important to like understand what a general like macros per meal could look like for you, so that you know, okay, like, hey, this, you're just browsing recipes and you're like, okay, well, this uses, you know, chicken thighs. I know that's going to be a little fattier. It also calls for a ton of olive oil. I wonder if I could sub that out a little bit, right? Or recognize that, like, okay, if I have that meal, then, you know, another meal somewhere else is going to have to be lower in fat if I want to be pretty accurate across the day.
For sure.
So, like, that understanding of what for you is like a good course amount of food and what the macros look like per like normal meal is mm-hmm. so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And that normal meal is probably going to be a range, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be, you know, whatever, 25 to 35 grams of protein, maybe like 30 to 50 grams of carbs, maybe like 10 to 20 grams of fat or something like that, right? Again, it depends mm-hmm. on your macros. But if you know that like that's your range, and then you see a recipe that has 30 grams of fat per serving, like Nicholas said, you're either going to have to make some swaps, or you're going to have to understand, okay, my next meal or my dinner or whatever, if I'm having that for lunch, is going to need to be lower fat. So I'm going to need to find one with a leaner protein source. So now maybe I'm looking up, you know, shrimp recipes or chicken breast recipes or something, and not a lot of added fat.
Mm-hmm. My other suggestion with recipes would be to specifically search recipes that include ingredients that you know are good fits for your macros and your lifestyle, rather than just like searching for a random recipe and having to A, go out and buy a whole new like load of groceries, but B, make sure that you know you're, by using this newer recipe, you're still going to, like, you know, hit your baselines. So I would generally say, like, if you're someone who relies on, like you said, like shrimp or chicken breast for a lot of like your protein, then those are the recipes to look for. You might not want to look for like vegan chickpea salad recipe that's not going to like give you the same. Yeah,
that's a good point. Okay, so either starting with one macro at a time and splitting it between your meals and going macro by macro, or going meal by meal, are two options. What's this third option that you have here?
The template?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I've been doing more recently in the past like few months, because I just didn't have the capacity nor the desire to be tracking so specifically. But the caveat here is that I'm in an improvement phase. So the goal is to really be eating a lot. So we needed, my coach and I needed to make sure that I was eating enough, because the worry was I'm under eating. That is like a no-go for right now. So if I'm not tracking, how am I at least being accountable to eating enough? So rather than tracking and planning out meals day to day, and since I am someone who eats very similar day to day, what I did was track one rest day, because I have different calories and different macros on rest day versus training days. Planned out one like quote unquote template rest day, one template training day. And then I use those as a framework, so that, you know, when I make a dinner on my training day, I know I need at least 50 grams of carbs. And I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, that's, you know, I have to get X amount of rice, X amount of potatoes, or I just straight up follow what I had logged, mm-hmm. knowing that I do often have my meals in different order depending on the day. Sometimes I'll have my oats for breakfast. Sometimes I'll have it as a pre-workout with my pancake, flipping that around. Sometimes I have a different snack after dinner. But just knowing that, like, I know the amounts for each of those and I can rotate them through. Some days my fats are going to be off because I've had ground turkey instead of chicken breast for dinner, but I know for sure I'm hitting protein and I know for sure I'm hitting calories, but I might be a little over.
Yeah.
Or that my carbs and fats might be a little wonky. This would probably not be your best bet in a diet phase unless you were eating the exact same thing every day.
Yeah.
And in that case, yeah, you really only need to track it once. And as long as you're like weighing and portioning out everything to those exact numbers, boom, easy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this other method gives you more flexibility while still hitting that underlying goal, which is making sure you're eating enough protein and calories.
Yeah. Which, so like,
right. Yeah.
Lots of times I'm using different vegetables. I'm using a different sauce. Swapping out, you know, a carb one day, a protein the next, but overall the meals are looking like very, very similar and are the macros per meal are like very close.
For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great option if you are in a building phase, or if you're in maintenance too, that could be another option, right? So that's nice if you're just not wanting to be as specific with tracking every single day.
Yeah, probably not ideal for someone who needs to eat differently every day though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really hard to make a template for the unknown.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Or someone who's like newer to tracking and doesn't have as much awareness around things.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we talk a little bit about, okay, so we've talked about like kind of like on a day-to-day basis in terms of like pre-planning out your day. What if we're looking at like a week? So I know for me, I like to plan out my week of meals. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do that or if you're kind of day-to-day, but what could that look like? How are there different ways of doing that if you're like planning a week at a time?
I mean, again, considering like what the week will look like. So planning out your meals, planning out the groceries you need for that. And I think just making sure that you, what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
Maybe there you talk.
Okay. I was thinking the way that I like to do it is I plan out my lunches and dinners for the week. And I usually like carry over my dinner from one day into the next day's lunch, which is super helpful for me. So in my notes app, I just write lunch, dinner for each day. And I also know that if one of those meals is higher in carbs or fats, the other one needs to be lower. So like yesterday, I made a like chickpea pasta for dinner, which was higher in carbs. It was also a non-training day where I have lower carbs. So I knew that my lunch needed to be a little bit lower in carb. I also know that my training days are lower fats. So I try to make sure on those days that I'm choosing leaner proteins and leaner recipes so that I don't have to actually go in and track those until the day of, right? Because I've like thought of that ahead of time. Whereas what I used to do when I was like newer to macros is I would be like, I want to make this recipe. I would go into my Fitness Pal. I would go to the day and I would put that in and see where the macros landed. And then I would be able to see, okay, do I need to swap something out? Do I need to make adjustments, et cetera? So if you are newer and you want to try a new recipe, like before you make it or before you even go buy the ingredients for it, play around with putting those into my Fitness Pal and seeing if like, is that going to be within the realm of like what you've determined that like meal breakdown to be? And if something's a little bit higher, is it still in like, is it still at a level where you're going to be able to adjust a future meal and still have that meal being satisfying?
Well, you're really on it when you were early in your tracking.
I think that a lot of us like, and there's a balance here because sometimes we are just going to want that thing or that meal. But if we are using, say we've got 60 grams of fat and we're using 30, 35 grams of fat in one meal, and now we've only got that, you know, 25, 30 grams for the rest of the day, the other four meals we're having, for most of us, those meals are going to be bland. They're going to be boring. They're not going to be super satisfying. Nicola's looking at me weird. Do you not agree?
Oh, I fully agree. I'm just thinking of how tragic each of those meals will be.
Yeah. So like, is it quote unquote worth it to have that meal, or can we make some adjustments to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, like this just sells planning so much, because if you have one of those meals by accident early in the day, and then you're left with two choices, have a miserable experience the rest of the day and really have to go back and adjust every single other meal you had like considered having, or you blow, and maybe I don't even love that term, but like you blow your macros for the day.
Yeah. Which in most cases isn't the end of the world. Obviously, if we're in a diet phase and that's happening frequently, we're not going to see progress as fast. But if we pre-plan, then we avoid that altogether. And like, that's the ideal situation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To your point too, about like plugging in recipes ahead of time to see where they put you, I do think that, you know, people aren't as brave as you when it comes to cooking, and they're not as like eager or willing to adjust recipes.
Right.
But I do find in general when we're using sites, especially like Half Baked Harvest, all of those kind of like popular recipe sites, they use an absolutely overwhelming amount of cooking oils and butters and sugars that we can probably get away with modifying just a little bit.
Same thing if you order a meal delivery kit. Lots of people who order like Fresh Prep or like those meal delivery kits where they give you the ingredients to cook it yourself, the exact same thing is in there. Those recipes are like super high fat because they're using so much of those high fat like oils, butters, etc. So I don't know, with those things I feel like it's not as hard to just use less. I don't know, maybe I'm being like naive there. But where the other swaps are hard is like, so some of the swaps that I make is I'll use like Greek yogurt in place of mayo a lot of times. Or I've been using like cottage cheese blended up in place of heavy cream. And those are just things that like, as you start implementing or like experimenting with recipes and stuff, that you'll start to realize like the consistency is the same, you know, the texture is the same, the color is even the same. And so like you can kind of make those swaps. But I will preface this with, I have tried to make swaps that do not fucking work sometimes.
And like, what are your swap flops?
I do find that like things that are being cooked, Greek yogurt doesn't work as well. Like I made Greek yogurt spinach dip and I baked it and it just like watery. Right. Whereas like cottage cheese being baked in that option might have been better, or just having it cold. Right. Yeah. So that, or like wherever I used cottage cheese, I could have used Greek yogurt. Like in the pasta I made last night, I could have used Greek yogurt, but I know that cottage cheese is just going to be like a better texture and consistency and taste in that. So that's something that you literally just learn by trial and error. Like no one is out here fucking nailing this right away. So if you expect yourself to fucking nail those things right away, like that's not really fair expectation.
Isn't it? I feel like that whenever I make something that's not great, I'm like, ugh, throw it away. This is terrible. Yeah. Luckily, Gumbu Palette beside me is like, this is delicious.
Yeah. Or just like put so much sauce on
Like, you put some sauce on that?
Yeah.
For my swap flops, feel like in certain things, again, baking is one of them, where if you try and get away with just egg whites instead of whole eggs, not always the best.
Yeah.
Sometimes like I make a banana zucchini muffins and I'll use egg whites instead of a whole egg sometimes, and that does work. Yeah. Using like a higher protein flour often works.
Yeah.
However, when you are doing baking and trying to get away with using protein powder instead of flour, that's no good.
Yeah.
That's like the recipe for like the driest fucking muffins of your life.
For sure. I find adding protein powder to baking is an art in itself, because there are ways to add it and make it taste good, but you can't, like Nicholas said, you can't be subbing that shit out completely.
It's usually like you're adding it
and then you got to add like a little bit of like the wet ingredient, a little bit more of the wet ingredients. Yeah,
totally. So like, yeah, that's like a choose your own adventure kind of deal. Yeah. But would not recommend subbing it out one for one. That's for sure.
I found personally that, so a couple of years ago, Brad and I ordered those like Fresh Preps or True Food or whatever they're fucking called, for a few weeks, because I was just like sick of my own meals. I just wanted things to be easy. And as someone who didn't consider herself a good cook, and I still don't consider myself a good cook, like Brad will eat anything I make, so that's great. But like 90% of the recipes that I cook for Brad and I would never cook for like a friend. I would cook them for you, but I wouldn't cook them for like someone who like isn't like, doesn't typically eat these types of foods or like make those swaps.
Why?
I just feel like they're not, I don't know. I feel like it's like not amazing. Maybe that's just being hard on myself. But I did find that getting those meal boxes and having the recipe card to follow, it helped me learn a lot about cooking and a lot about like flavors that go together and, you know, things like that. There's one recipe that we made one time. It was like a mashed sweet potato puree and salmon. And like that recipe literally sparked my like joy of like cooking. I don't know.
Wow.
It's like weird. So if you're someone who feels like that, those could be a really good option for just like learning how to do that stuff without having to also figure out, okay, what ingredients do I need? How much of each do I need? It's like very easy to follow. And I would just go through like the meal plan and like pick the most macro friendly options from like what the options are for that week or whatever.
That's a really hot tip because I don't think I've ever recommended to a client like, hey, why don't you order some fresh prep or like one of those box things to like cultivate more of like the cooking knowledge.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like that.
So, and then there's also like cooking shows and podcasts. I think you can learn a lot about from them too, versus just reading a recipe. Like if you're someone who is really like, I want to like dive into this a little bit more, being able to like see people like while you're meal prepping, put on a cooking show. Because then you can just like
the British Bake Off.
Yeah. I fucking hate baking. I'm not a baker. But you can see how they do it. You can see how they're talking about like, I'm adding this because of this. And like, mm-hmm. you can just learn a lot that way rather than just like reading a recipe, you know?
I don't know if I would have ever thought about that either. You're just full of hot takes today.
Well, I remember you told me about that like salt, fat, acid.
Oh, salt, fat, acid, heat. That documentary just made me like really appreciate things. I don't know if it taught me like how to cook. But right. I was like, wow, there's so much like thought put into this. It was just inspiring.
Right.
Plus, yeah. I just love Celine. So I would watch anything she did.
Your voice is so knowing awesome. Nicola's mom, I know that Nicola's mom like loves to cook and like makes a lot of things herself. So I'm like, no?
Ask her, Teresa, do you love to cook? And she'll be like, what?
Okay, well, when I stayed there those few days, she was, like, cooking up a storm.
She's an excellent cook, but I wouldn't say she, like, likes it. She okay. also makes a lot of, she's, like, the opposite of what we're talking about here. She makes a lot of very complicated things.
Right.
With, like, millions of ingredients. Like, tracking meals she makes would be so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
She is good, but does she like it?
Growing up in that, you know, it's, like, I think... For those of us who have grown up in that, it's like easier for us to pick this shit up and like go with it right away. Whereas if someone grew up in a household where like there wasn't a lot of at-home cooking or like stuff like that, it is harder because you haven't like seen it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I learned how to take chili. No, wait, what did it start off as? I feel like every family has this where it's like one meal that is then morphed into three different meals. Okay, it started off as taco meat. So
right.
You have tacos on night one. The next night it became spaghetti meat sauce for a pasta.
Yeah.
And then night three, it became chili. And by night three, I was throwing fifths.
Yeah, over it.
I think that's a strategy, though.
There's
a fantastic strategy. And I think I eat like that now.
For sure.
I'll make it one day and then it looks a little, I put it in something different the next day and then put it in something different. Yeah. I definitely like cook like that now, but man, it pissed me off as a child.
Yeah. There's a book called like Cook Once, Dinner Fix.
Right.
And she takes that premise. So, and also I love it because there's pictures of every recipe, which like makes me happy in a cookbook. But so you open it up and there's the pictures of the two recipes and then you turn the page and then there's the two recipes and it uses the same meat.
Yeah.
In both recipes, which is really nice. And I think that's something we've talked about a lot with like batch cooking and stuff. Is a really not easy, but it like simplifies things.
I think it is easy. Like you make and I'm going to be an advocate for a slow cooker here. You make pulled chicken. With that pulled chicken, you can make like breakfast wraps, you can make scrambles, you can make sandwiches or buns with it, you can make pizzas, you can make rice bowls, you can make salads.
You make pasta. I made a pasta last night with pulled chicken. That chickpea pasta, the sauce was fresh tomatoes, tomato sauce, cottage cheese, garlic, and Parmesan all blended.
Wow.
Kale.
You say you're not a good cook.
Yeah, it was decent. Yeah, now we've got that pulled chicken left, and I'll do something else with it later this week. I might make like a cold chicken salad, like with Greek yogurt and like fresh herbs. And we don't have any grapes, but some like a Waldorf salad would be good.
You know, I'm not like a big creamy salad person, but you do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Pasta salad stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, everybody, were those the tips you needed to help your macros to meals conundrums?
A little chaotic today, but hopefully there were some good takeaways there, especially if you're new, to, you can feel a little overwhelming. So take one of those strategies and try it on. And if it doesn't work, try a different one. You'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. And I mean, we did talk a lot about like the macros of it all, but like you could still apply all of these considerations if you weren't tracking macros, but just trying to eat balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we want to do our fuck yes and fuck no?
We do want to do that. Yes.
Okay. I have a fuck yes.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it on your Instagram, but my Instagram recipes are like, everyone's obsessed with like chopping shit up lately.
What?
So like if you're having a chicken wrap, like they finally chop like all the ingredients in the wrap and then mix it up so that like every bite has like every single thing in it.
Love.
Best. So I got like one of those choppers. So it's like, you know what I mean, right? It's got a handle.
Like it's not like the slap chop, right?
No, it's just like, it's like a knife, but it's a square and then it's got a handle on the top. So you can chop it and then you can scoop it up onto it.
Yeah.
So yesterday I made this like smoked salmon bagel chopped.
Oh yes, I saw that. Again, like with the creaminess. I'm like, no.
But like you have smoked salmon and cream cheese on a bagel.
I do not. Never will never.
Oh, you're weird. It's fucking delicious. But yeah, so like the chopping just made like every bite has every single flavor and texture in it. And it's so fucking good. You could do it with a knife too, but I like the like being able to scoop it all onto the thing.
That's why I like love burrito bowls. And I hate that I must make them aesthetically pleasing, which means separating all the ingredients.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I will just chuck it. I'll take a beautiful picture of it because this is a behind the scenes of Instagram. I'll take a picture of it, post it, everyone's like, oh wow, your food looks so good, and then I take that bowl, throw it into a bigger bowl and just
fucking mix it up. Yeah,
mix it all around, then put it back in the bowl and it's just like this haphazard mess. And like,
yes, that's 1,000% of the meals that I post on Instagram. It's like it looks like this for 5 seconds,
but you get so many different flavors and textures in each bite, and that truly is the way to live.
It's the best. Yeah, so that's my fuck yes.
Okay, well, I also have a fuck yes.
Okay.
I'll think of a fuck no. As we've talked about before, Dune 2 is coming out soon. And since the first one, we've been like, oh my God, when they put out the second one, I really hope they bring the first one back to theaters so we can watch it again in theaters to like prepare ourselves for the second one. And lo and behold, our favorite local theater is doing just that.
Nice.
Tonight, I will be sneaking going a burrito tonight in and getting my favorite caffeine-free diet cherry vanilla Coke.
Nice.
I'm so fucking excited. And then
are you making a burrito or getting Taco Fino burrito?
No, we're getting Taco Fino.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to train, do chest, then get burritos, and then go to Dune. It's like, it's gonna be such a good fucking night. I'm so excited.
Yes. Are you going with Val?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going with Bunch Bus.
Nice.
Yeah. Will I get stoned? Probably. Because I tell you, watching Dune in theaters, you're just like a little enhanced. It was like an epic adventure. And it's just so gorgeous. If it's playing in theaters, you should go.
Okay.
It's like, it's a work of art, truly. Amazing. And I'm not usually like sci-fi stuff, but go with it.
I'm surprised.
You know,
you have a fuck no?
I mean, I've got many. Where would you like me to start?
Whatever came to mind first.
I mean, reducing dose of SSRIs, terrible. Student loan situations, terrible. Dealing with group projects, terrible. Is that not car breaking on the weekend. Terrible.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the truck. Yeah. On my way to school, like 7:30 a.m. Saturday morning. I make it up this hill. She's got so much juice. I'm literally thinking to myself, wow, this little girl, she's really got that hop today. Turn around the corner, put.
No. That's sad. Is she going to be dead forever or is it fixable?
She got towed to a local mechanic and they could only look at her today. So I haven't heard back. I'm like, fingers crossed. It's the same thing as it was before, which was only like $100.
Yeah.
I can't say goodbye to her. I will I will shed tears. The grief process will be immense if I have to say goodbye to her.
I mean, you could just keep her in the driveway.
I mean, I definitely can't just let her go.
Yeah.
Go to the scrapyard? That'd be so sad.
You should, in 3 weeks from now when we post this podcast, post a picture of her on Instagram for anyone who hasn't seen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, she's...
I love when people figure out that that's what I drive.
Yeah.
And their face. Even like some people at school didn't know that that's what I drove. And I pulled up the other day, or I guess a few weeks ago, and they were like, what is that?
I remember the first time you picked me up from the airport in that truck. I was like,
so cute. And you were like, what the actual?
Yeah. It's fine. It's perfect. It's
so fun. I love it.
Cute. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was enough. Nose. I don't even need to put one.
No, you don't.
Perfect. Okay, but I kind of want to because it's really funny.
Okay, what?
So my fuck no is when the dog wakes up in the middle of the night and wakes you up. Okay. Uh-huh. So Millie woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, had to pee. She's been sleeping downstairs now because she's annoying in our bed at night. Not in our bed, in our bedroom. She never slept in bed. So I had to get her up and let her out, and then I just didn't really fall back asleep. And so that's my fuck no, but here's the story that goes with it. I was mad at Brad because he went to bed an hour and a half after me and he didn't let her out again before bed. And so now I'm like, Brad, this is your fault. I had to wake up and let her out and woke up so early. Like, fuck you. So apparently this morning, which I don't think I was actually doing, but Brad said I was like slamming shit and like slamming the door and stuff like that because I was awake and he was still trying to sleep. So I go to the gym. Everything's all good. I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but we always leave our back door open, like unlocked, because the keys that we have to the house, like forever, whatever reason, don't work in the back door.
And my in the front door. Your house is an
impenetrable lock change. But my key on my keychain doesn't even work in the front door. So basically, I just like don't have a house key. So we always leave the back door open. So I get home today and Brad has fucking locked me out. He locked the back door and he guaranteed did that on purpose, like out of spite, like passive aggressive, like, cause I'm like, he never locks the back door. He was just like, fuck you for being loud. Yeah. And then, so I have to like get the spare key out of the hiding spot, go around, unlock the front door, whatever. And then he made pancakes for breakfast and there's fucking dried on pancake mix all over the counter. And he knows that's like my biggest pet peeve.
Oh yeah, it's horrible.
Fucking get a knife and scratch it off. Like, so anyways, moral of the story was passive aggressiveness is just like not a good strategy in a relationship.
You don't say.
Yeah. I like texted him. I was like, hey, are you free on the 28th for therapy? We can talk about this whole passive aggressive situation. Because Cal was like, yeah, I'm not free for like 3 more weeks. So I was like, ah, oh, fuck, fine. Fuck no is the dog waking up in the middle of the night. I hate that.
I love that it started with a dog, but really it was about Brad. This
I mostly just wanted to tell Nicola that story and then we were rushed to get the podcast started. So now everyone gets to hear it.
Well, that's a wrap on our complaint corner.
Yeah, perfect. And
yeah, we'll see you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.